I'm one of the pastors here, and it's just been fun to see what God has been doing here at Christ Church this year. Of course, last week we wrapped up the story, and I don't know about you guys, but it was extremely enriching to go through the entire Bible as a church family, and even our individual family. It was fun to ask the kids questions on the way home, very specific questions, because I knew exactly what they were studying. Our five-year-old, it was fun to ask him questions specifically about Samson and Delilah and kind of his take on that. And so, very glad there are boundaries there. But this has been a great year. You know, a lot of ministry has happened, 69 baptisms last month, just some amazing, amazing things. And so, this is a fun time here at Christ Church. One of the things that I get to do as a part of my job is call first-time visitors. And there's several questions I'd like to ask them if the opportunity becomes available. But one of the things I'd like to ask them is how they ended up here at Christ Church. And behind every person, behind every face, there is a story about how they ended up here at Christ Church. There's a story about how you ended up here at Christ Church. And sometimes it involves a friend or family member inviting you to church. Sometimes it's your association with Sharing Tree Preschool or Christ Church Academy, maybe one of our big events. Sometimes it's because you live on Greenland Road and you've driven by this massive building for years and decided one day to check it out. And so whatever the reason is, we're certainly glad and thankful that you're here at Christ Church. But one of the things that we wanted to do this morning was to interview a few of our staff members and ask them how they ended up here at Christ Church. And so that's going to be the first question we ask them, starting with Myra Maney. How did you end up here working at Christ Church?
Well, I want to start my story sharing that, just a few little details, that I actually grew up in Indiana, and I grew up in a Christian home, moved to Florida to go to college, and I graduated from Florida Southern College in Lakeland with a degree in psychology and sociology. From there, I met my husband, Floyd, and we've been married 33 years, and we have three grown children now. Justin graduated from FSU and went on to Cincinnati Christian University, where he got a degree in biblical studies, and he's a youth pastor. He and his wife and our two granddaughters, Quinn and Kennedy, live in North Carolina. My daughter, Sarah, graduated from Milligan College in Tennessee with a degree in communications. She moved to Atlanta, and she also is married to a youth pastor, and she's on staff at the same church as a production director in family ministry. My daughter, Afton, is a graduate from Florida Christian College. She also moved and relocated to Atlanta, where she works for a company called Rethink, and they work with churches developing curriculum for families, for family ministry. 23 years ago, though, I walked into Christ Church when the kids were 7, 5, and newborn. And I was just like you. I just started volunteering in children's ministry. And it was such a blessing to be in the environments to learn about the Lord along with my kids. I know growing up in a Christian home, it was not about a religion. I learned here at Christ Church it was about a relationship with Jesus. And so as we continued to be involved where the kids were in programming, I ended up being the first preschool director to be hired to serve, as the church was about 500 then. From preschool director, I moved into the role of elementary director for a few years, moving the church from Sunday school to small groups. And from there, I got moved into First Impressions ministry, where I serve now, along with volunteer assimilation. I just became really passionate about helping families have the same church experience that I had, and just really passionate about serving opportunities for people here. I currently serve as the ministry development director, and I actually work with the staff and volunteers, just building teams of people that use their spiritual gifts to serve in all the environments across the church. I like to say that I kind of work with God to help move you guys onto what God's agenda is for you.
Great, great. Thanks, Myra. Mm-hmm. Brent, how about you?
All right. My name is Brent Warner, and I am the middle school pastor here at Christ Church, and I've been working here for almost four years now. And before I begin to tell you a little bit about my story, I just want to say that for the longest time, I felt like I didn't have a story to tell. And, you know, we hear all these awesome testimonies, these prodigal son testimonies, these testimonies that are action-packed, and there's my testimony. And it may seem kind of boring, and I think that Satan likes to lie to us and say, you don't have a story to tell. But in reality, we all have a story to tell. And my story is a story of faithfulness. And that may seem boring, but I know now that God is not bored with our faithfulness. He's not. He's not. And my story is a story of faithfulness. And I've been blessed. I was born, I was raised in the church. My dad was an elder at the church. I was born in a Christian home, me and my brother, outside of St. Louis, Missouri. And I was raised in the church. And I was baptized at the age of 10. And then as I went to my teenage years, my youth pastor had a huge impact on my life. He got me to see that I was not just the church of tomorrow as a teenager, I was the church of today. And that I could play a part in the church as a teenager, and that was huge in my life. That spoke volumes into my life. And so, as a teenager, I loved being able to see how God could use me to serve. And lo and behold, even in my teenage years, one summer I went to a Christian camp, summer camp. And that is where I met my future spouse. No joke. No joke. Met my future spouse at church camp. It was a church camp relationship that lasted. All right? Wow. And if you're a boy in here, okay, and you are looking for a future spouse, okay, I would definitely recommend Christian church camp. Number one, okay, listen up. If you're a boy in here, going to church camp, you meet girls that love Jesus. Amen? All right? And two, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but at church camp, there's two girls for every boy. All right. So... there it is. But I met my future wife, my future spouse at church camp when I was a teenager. And we dated on and off throughout high school and even into college. And throughout high school, I never wanted to do ministry. Never. I was like, ain't nobody got time for that. I don't want to do ministry. That's dumb. I don't want to do that. And constantly, people would be like, Brent, you would make a good minister someday. And so some of my friends are older than me, they went off to several universities, some went to Christian universities, and I decided, you know what, I'll give Christian University a try for 1 year, and boy, did God have something for me when I went to Lincoln Christian University for my 1 year. God grabbed a hold of me and said, Brent, I don't want you to do anything else but full-time ministry. And it was crystal clear. I knew what I was supposed to do after my freshman year at Lincoln Christian University. And so I continued my track there at Lincoln Christian University and graduated there and wanted to pursue youth ministry full time. And so I got a job at a church in St. Louis, and I worked there for 4 years, and I loved every minute of it. And as I was there, I realized that I had a passion for middle school students. I know it sounds weird to you guys, like middle school kids, really? Like, that's crazy. I mean, just think back to when you were a middle school student. It's scary to think about, right? It's scary. But I have a passion for middle school students because they're at such a crucial age. They're transitioning mentally, physically, spiritually. And I'm like, man, I've got to find a focus where I can just minister to middle school students. And lo and behold, Christ Church had an opening. Through my connections, I got a job here at Christ Church. And me and my wife of almost 10 years have lived here for 4 years. And I have three beautiful kids. And we just love ministering here at Christ Church. So that's
great,
my testimony.
Great. Thanks, Brent.
I'm sorry. Oh. Along those lines, I love to share with our students that you don't have to have a rebellious testimony. You don't. Like, I think a lot of times our teenagers think, well, I'm just going to go live my life however I want to and then come back to God. But God, we're wasting our teenage years by rebelling against him when God can be using us to do something awesome. And so I love to share my testimony and show them that it is awesome to not just to have a action-packed prodigal son testimony, because those are just as awesome as well, but God can use a story of faithfulness just as well as he can use a prodigal son testimony. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Absolutely. Great. Thanks, Brent. Kevin, how about you?
My name is Kevin Boone. I'm the children's pastor here at Christ Church, and I've been here for a little less than a year. And my story starts back in the spring of 2012. It was a beautiful spring day. The sun was shining bright. I was in Orlando, Florida. The wind was blowing from the north to the south, about 10 miles an hour. And I was playing golf. And so I was on the 11th hole. And we were playing in a minister's golf outing. And there was a group that was on the tee box that was holding everybody up. And I was introduced to the ministers that were in that group. And one of those ministers was Jason Colum. And I had no idea who he was. I just told him I was a children's minister at a church in Port Orange, Florida. And he told me that he was in children's ministry at one time. And then they proceeded to tee off and then hit their ball many, many, many times. They finally got to the green, and so my team goes ahead and hits. And a little bit about my background, I played golf professionally for many years. And so on this short dogleg left par four, I told my team, I could drive the green. I can get it there. And so we're just going to wait. And so Jason and his group finally left the green and moved to the next hole. And I proceeded to get up and get ready to hit my shot. But before I tell you what happened at that point, I want to back you up and let you know a little bit about who I am. I've been in ministry for over 18 years now. I've served on the mission field in Japan for 7 years. I've been in student ministry, children's ministry, and my whole life, pretty much. And so I got to a point in my ministry, just like Brent was saying about Satan who lies to you, he was selling me a lie, and I was going after it. My family's unique. My two biological daughters are born in Japan, Anna and Ella. I have an older daughter who is from Ghana, West Africa. Her name is Ruth. I have two little ones that were born in Haiti that are now adopted into my family, Rebecca and Kevin's. And a lot of things have happened in my life that were just very, just wild and extraordinary and crazy. But Satan gets into any family. I grew up in a divorced family. My dad was not part of my life that much. I visited him like once a month and stuff, but he was still faithful and invested in me. But growing up, it was just, you know, myself and my mom. And I vowed that whenever I had kids, that I would never, ever, ever get a divorce. Well, around 2010, 2011, things got really crazy in my family. Not only did we adopt Ruth in 2009, 2010, there was a major earthquake in Haiti, which 3 days later, I was down there trying to rescue my kids whose orphanage collapsed, was able to bring them back. But then after that proceeded that my father died. 3 months later, his mother died. 3 months later, my father's father died. And then my wife and I got a divorce. And so I'm working at this church in Port Orange, Florida, now going, this is probably my last ministry ever, that I've lived 18 years serving God, and Satan's sending me this lie that you're worthless. And that no church is ever going to want you. Nobody's going to want you. Your wife doesn't want you. And so my story is about grace and restoration. So I resided that's my last ministry, the last church I was going to be at, until this group that was in front of me was going really slow on the golf course that day. I still dabble in golf a little bit. I'm probably not as good as I used to be, but I got up to hit the ball, and I missed the green. Kind of pushed it a little right, and it took one hop by the green, and then next hop hit Jason right on his thumb. So that began to really open the door to our relationship. And the leadership of this church and Jason began to be part of that grace and restoration process for my family and my kids. And that's my story. That's how I got here.
Great, great. Thanks, Kevin. So, great. Just to recap, if you volunteer, you might get called into ministry. If you go to church camp, you might find a spouse. And if you go golfing, you might find a job. So there you go. Yeah. But thanks for sharing. And it's always fun just to hear how God led people here, whether it's staff or people in the pews. It's always amazing what God does to get you here. And so the next question is, we're going to ask you guys, what is your favorite Bible story? So Myra, will you lead us off?
Yeah, when Jason and I talked about this before today, I think he thought I was going to say Mary and Martha because I just work all the time and, you know, I need to slow down and be more like Mary. But actually, my favorite story, especially going through this story just recently here at the church, is the story of Nehemiah. I just really relate to the story of Nehemiah and his faithfulness of wanting to go back and build the wall and do what was right. And I think that I'm a lot like Nehemiah in that I want to build something too. I want to help build this church and God's kingdom. And I just want to invite all the people like Nehemiah did. I want to invite everybody to come with me and be part of a bigger story. And when we all just do our one little part, it just moves more and more people to know Christ. And I just feel that my story is a lot like Nehemiah and wanting to bring a lot of you along with me on this journey.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Thanks, Mara. Brent, how about you?
All right. Well, Bible story that has had the most impact on my life comes out of 2 Kings chapter 2, and it's where Elisha is. He just shared God's word with a town. He's walking down a road, and these boys are making fun of him for being old, and calling him old geezer, and calling him a baldy. And then all of a sudden, these two bears come out of the forest and they devour the boys. That is a story that has had the biggest impact on my life. Was that? Oh, I'm sorry. My parents used to read that story to me every night before I went to bed, so I respect my elders. So, just kidding. That's not.
And then they sat a bear right.
And they sat up. I had a stuffed bear that sat right next to me. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, that was maybe Bible story that scarred me for life, but not. Bible story that's probably had the biggest impact on my life is the story of King Josiah. I don't know if you guys know the story of King Josiah, but King Josiah was crowned king at the age of 8. 8 years old, he was crowned king. And before Josiah, his grandfather was the king, his father was the king, and they worshipped false gods and pagan idols. And at 8 years old, Josiah was crowned king. And I remember this lesson that was taught to me from my youth minister. It had a huge impact on my life. And Josiah, at age 8 and throughout his adolescence and through his teenage years, he got rid of all of the false gods and the pagan idols. He said, we're no longer worshiping these fake idols and these false gods. We are worshiping the one and true God. He could have done anything he wanted to as king, but he chose to say, we're getting rid of all of these things, and we're going to worship the one true God. And that just stuck with me, and it's had an impact on my life, because I want teenagers to see that very same lesson, that they can take God seriously and that God takes them very seriously, and they need to help others take God more seriously. And so that is a story that's had a huge impact on my life. So, yeah.
Great, great. Thanks, Brent, for most of that.
So, yeah.
Kevin, how about you?
When I think about my favorite passage of scripture or story, there's one that comes to mind that really speaks to me, especially with everything that I went through. When I was in Bible college, I took a class on some minor prophets, and we studied Amos and Hosea. And Hosea has a really amazing story because he's talking to Israel and calling them to come back, that he begins to tell at the very end what God's going to do. And I want to paint a picture with you. I want you guys to, and ladies, to go with me and on this journey and imagine what you look like, because this is what you look like. And so here's the picture that God paints of us. And so in Hosea chapter 14, starting with verse 6, you should highlight this because it's really amazing, is that God begins to say that I'm going to heal you. I'm going to begin to give you life and begin to restore you and make you clean and whole again. And as God begins to make us clean and whole again, he says that I'm going to be like the dew to Israel. I'm going to be like the dew, like for grass that helps, makes it grow and give nourishment. He's like, I'm going to help you grow. I'm going to heal you, help make you grow. And then you're going to sprout up like this beautiful lily. Okay, are you getting this picture that you're now being healed? God is feeding into you. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. and he goes on to say that not only that, he's like, when you stay in me, that you're going to be rooted in me, that your roots are going to be like the cedars of Lebanon. And I want you to get a picture of this beautiful flower that is growing out of the ground that has these roots of these amazing, huge trees that are in the ground. And what comes to my mind is that when Satan comes along and tells us the lie that our story is not a good enough story, or you're a loser or whatever, that Satan's not going to pull me out of the ground, because God is investing in me. He's healing me. He's nourishing me. He's making me grow into this beautiful, amazing flower that's rooted into the ground. And the best part, Brent's going to like this part, is that not only is all this stuff happening to you, and it says it right there, he says, God says, you're going to smell good too. That is what stuck with me.
We have not made fun of Kevin at all. Nope. With that verse. But he does smell good. So thank you very much. Let's move on to the next question about the story of what's happening in your ministry and kind of what's going on there. So, Mara, what's happening?
Well, the exciting thing happening in First Impressions Ministry is I hope that you guys can notice, there's over 400 people serving currently in our First Impressions environments just to create a welcoming and friendly place for people to come to. I want that same environment for everybody who comes here, just like my family had years ago. And it's so fun to watch those of you who are gifted in hospitality stepping up. We definitely need more, though. Exciting, the volunteers last year from September to now, and 250 of you have taken test drives in our ministries across the church and are plugging in and using how you guys are wired with your spiritual gifts to use those to impact the kingdom. And when all of us just take the one little part that we can, we're more invested in our church. This becomes very, this is my church. And I think it's really exciting to watch everybody jumping in and taking test drives and getting plugged in. So great things are happening simply because all of you are saying yes to getting invested here at Christ Church and what we're doing.
Great, great. Thanks, Mara. Brent, how about you?
Well, there's some exciting things happening in our student ministry. We have some fantastic students here at Christ Church. All right, let's give it up for our students here. Our teen, yeah.
And children.
And children. Children, yes, children, yes, children. You'll talk about that in a minute. Thank you. All right. But we are just coming off of CIY and camp And these two things really, really challenge our students and set them on fire for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to speak a little bit more probably about middle school camp because I was there and I wasn't at CLY. But we just had an amazing week of camp. We had 200 middle school kids. Yeah, 200 middle school kids at our summer camp this past month. And we had 38 students accept Jesus Christ for the very first time. Very first time. And so that right there is exciting in itself. And we also had, and this is crazy to me, but this is awesome. This is a God thing. We had 6 middle school kids that said they wanted to commit their life to full-time ministry in middle school. These middle school students said, I want to commit myself to doing full-time ministry for my career. That's just amazing that a middle school student would say that. And we also raised over $1,200 for just the middle school to go to Rafa House. And because the elementary camp definitely pushed us to make us raise that money. But it was just an amazing week of students and adults coming together and our adults loving our middle school kids and pointing them to Jesus Christ. And it was an amazing week. And I know CIY, they had an amazing time. They took 90 plus students to CIY and 6 kids' lives were changed forever at CIY. And they accepted Jesus Christ for the very first time. And I think they had 3 students that committed their lives to full-time ministry as well. And so that is just fantastic. Give it up for our high school. All right, yeah. Deborah is doing a fantastic job filling in and leading the high school ministry. But there are some exciting things that are going on in our student ministry. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but right now there are 200 middle school kids upstairs in the attic worshiping God. 200 middle school kids that are here on a Sunday morning and praising God and wanting to know more about who God is and what he wants for their lives. And so there are some exciting things going on, even on Wednesday nights with our high school ministry. And so it's exciting right now. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Great, great. Thanks, Brent. Kevin, how about you?
I think for us, what's really exciting is that we're trying to let families know that we want to partner with them, that they're not on this journey with raising kids on their own. And so we've developed this new program called TREK, a journey from birth through fourth grade, where we have key milestones that they're going to be learning in each age level, from the nursery, which is our greenhouse, to the safari, which is our preschool area, then to our uncharted territory. Things like God loves me, God made me, Jesus wants to be my forever friend. As we get into elementary, we want the kids to understand that they need to make a wise choice. They need to trust God no matter what and treat others the way they want to be treated. And hopefully from all of that, that they begin to grow and get into Brent's area where they come and make that decision. But one of the things for us is like when we were at camp, some of the kids have made decisions this year, and a lot of that's been reinforced at camp. But we've had, as of this morning, 45 kids. Alyssa was just baptized. 45 kids that have given up their life at a young age saying that I'm going to give my life to you, Lord, and follow you for eternity. And that is amazing in itself, with those kids doing that.
That's awesome. Now that we know a little bit more about them,
I'm going to talk about camp.
Yeah, cut his mic. Thank you.
But no, camp was exciting. One of the things at camp that Brent was saying was that when we went through our week, Brent and I were talking about early on about Rafa House. Rafa is an organization that I visited when I was over in the Orient or Asia area. They do an amazing job, and they want to open up a new site that's in Haiti. And now I'm partial to Haiti because 2 of my kids are from there. But what they're going to do there will benefit that country in ways that it's just very hard to explain in this short amount of time that we have. But as we were sharing that all week long with the kids, we had 58 kids, 58 third and fourth graders there at camp that on Thursday, we challenged them. Just one day we challenged them. We said, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of our comfort zones? What are we going to give up and what are we going to do for them? 58 kids raised over $600. Combine that with Brent. What was really neat was that when Brent's group heard about that, it's like these 58 kids motivated them. And so when the week was over, $1,800 was raised for this organization. And so that was just awesome that week.
That's awesome. That is. Okay, now you're done. So, great.
One more thing.
We knew he was going to be the issue. No, seriously, thanks for sharing. What are some ways these good folks can partner with you guys this fall? What are some of your ministry opportunities?
All I need you guys to do is to take a test drive. A test drive is just a way for you guys to try out a ministry where you might want to serve, including these guys' ministry. A test drive, you can meet to talk to me or a member of our volunteer assimilation team, and we'll meet with you one-on-one. Just to help you use your spiritual gifts and get plugged in a little bit more here at the church.
Great, great. Brent?
Bottom line, we need adults to come alongside of our middle school students and high school students and love on them and point them to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, that's what we need. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but there's a statistic that says that if a child does not accept Jesus Christ by the age of 13, the chances of them ever accepting Christ ever again drops drastically. And so right there, that just says to me that what we're doing right here in children's ministry and student ministry is very, very important. And we need adults to come alongside of our students and our children and point them to Jesus Christ. And the way you can do that, our biggest need is small group leaders. We need small group leaders. We need more small group leaders. Doesn't matter how old you are, we need small group leaders to come and love on our students. And you can love on our students even outside of doing small groups. You can help in our attic cafe, our gym cafe. You can help on Wednesday nights and our outreach nights. We have lots of ways to serve in student ministry, and it's very exciting right now. But the bottom line is this. We need people to love on our students and help them through these years.
Amen.
And I'm going to piggyback on that, is that you each of us has an amazing story where God has healed you, God's made you beautiful, and listen, you do smell good, trust me. God says so. And the thing is that the story that you have can change a life forever. I want to encourage you to test drive. Test drive and go see Myra and her team, and they'll get you plugged in. You know, we need small group leaders, but don't let that scare you. There's other things that we need. Your story might be that you have been restored in such a way that you have that personality that when a kid walks up, you're ready to greet them, and you could be there at the front greeting the kids as they come in. And the way that you greet and your smile and your love can set the tone for the whole day where we're able to speak into that child and they might be able to make that decision. You might be someone who's really organized and can help us during the week by getting things set up and prepped and ready for the weekend. You, whatever your gift might be, let Myra take that time, sit down with you, find out what it is, and get you plugged in. So I want to encourage you to test drive, and you know what? Let God use you.
Yeah, great, great. Let's give these guys a hand. So thank you so much for sharing. And one of the things that, as you read through the New Testament, the Apostle Paul refers to the church being the body of Christ. And he uses that particular comparison for a very specific reason, and it's because each part of our physical bodies has a function to perform. And each part and each person of the body of Christ, each of you has a particular function that you should perform. God has given you different gifts and passions and skills, and one of the things that we talk about in our new members class and growth groups is that you have been gifted for God's service and to build his kingdom. And it's important for you to find the part that you can play. And if you test drive and partner with Myra, she will take very, very good care of you and get you to that spot where you can make maximum contribution to God's kingdom. So I encourage you to do that and encourage you just to start down that path and pray where God may use you the most. So one of the things that we have always been about here at Christ Church is regular people getting involved in service. And this is a great place, and if you've been around here for a while, you already know that. But the best thing about Christ Church is this, the servant-heartedness of good folks like yourself. And so it's fun as staff people to be able to serve with you and to partner with you to reach this city and this world. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you so much for loving us. I thank you just for the wonderful people here at Christ Church, week in and week out. It's just a pleasure to be able to talk with folks, to get to know them, to get to know their story, to see where you have brought them, to see the road that you have in store for them. I thank you for our staff, just a committed staff to serving you, Father. And but just it stems from everyone's relationship with you. And I pray that as we continue, go into this fall, that each of us would search our soul and find the right place that you have in store for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.